Hey, from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Hello, Darren Patterson.
Hello, John Trumbull. How are you this fine evening?
Okay, I'm all right.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm still like, I don't know what it is. Like, I think daylight saving time just really did a number on me this year. It's just, I'm still not entirely used to it. It's like everything after 5:30 feels like midnight now.
Yeah, that's the thing. It gets darker earlier, so it kind of messes up with your eternal clock. But, I mean, we gained an hour, so you got more sleep. So that's, you know, more sleep, that's always good. Yay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, more sleep. I'm still an insomniac, but...
Oh. Oh, yeah, so. There's... All right, well, there is that. Yeah, that's true.
So it's like, oh, another hour of me not sleeping well. Yay!
I'm winning at life.
Yay!
Everything's coming up Trumbull.
Everything is. How are you doing? How was your week, sir?
Good, sir. Actually, the wife and I just did a little weekend trip. We were up in Boston for a bit, so I just got back from...
Oh, nice. I didn't know you were doing that.
Yeah, just visiting some family. You know, I kind of enjoy the Beantown area. It's just definitely had this nice little flavors in here and there. Still haven't heard somebody with a super thick Boston accent like they have in the movies, like in the town.
So I mean, that's the dream. Yeah, you want it to be like a big Ben Affleck movie. So
yeah, there was one time I swear, like maybe like years ago, when we were in Boston and we kind of got lost, so we asked a cop for directions, and he like no joke, he's like, you wanna fucking take a right over here, kid. Like he had the thick Boston accent. I was like,
park the car in the Harvard Yard.
He told us to park the car in the Harvard Yard, kid. And I was so happy. I was like, oh, you talk like that. You talk like the movies say you talk.
You live up to the stereotype. Yay!
I'm not being condescending at all. Oh. So, yeah, listeners, let us know. What's your favorite accent to hear from a certain part of the U.S. or other parts of the world?
Oh, this won't backfire at all. Yeah, no, that's a great question to ask. Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be wonderful. Kids. I'm sure none of the responses will be problematic in the least.
It's going to be fine now. Good. We're in Trump's America. Comedy's legal again. Ha ha!
And since comedy is legal again, we're covering more comedy. Yay! And this week, we're covering the SNL with first-time host Nikki Glaser, first-time musical guest Somber. This is season 51, episode 5 from November 8th, 2025. So I mean we talked about this a little last week. We're both fans of Nikki Glaser as a stand-up. I would say that's fair to say, right?
Yeah, I think she's funny. She's mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not like a diehard fan, but she definitely has like, you know, good stage presence, good jokes, mm-hmm. she's a good actress. I enjoy her, sure.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I was excited when I heard that she was going to be hosting. And let's see how she did. Let's see how the episode went. You want to dive in?
Let's dive in with, let's get salty right up top. I'm going to say the worst part of this episode.
Whew, okay.
Oval Office press conference cold open.
So, this is hitting on one of the big news stories of the week where they were having a press conference in the Oval Office at the White House. Where the Oval Office is located. I just realized I over-explained that one.
I didn't want to correct you.
Yeah. And a guy, like one of the medical professionals there just like keeled over in the middle of that. And then there's this photo that went viral of Trump just standing there staring straight ahead.
Yes.
And I don't know if they just caught him at the wrong moment. I mean, that's the most generous interpretation. Or if he was just...
No, he is the wrong.
If he doesn't care, or if it's a dementia related thing, I don't know.
Why not all three?
It could be all three. Yeah.
He is the wrong moment.
So yeah, let's see. One of the few lines I wrote down was medical professional dying at the thought of charging less for drugs. That was cute.
That was cute, but that's a good line. I mean, not bad line, but again, this is indicative of what I'm not wild about with these new cold opens, where it's just JJ.
Are they new cold opens, really? Because
no,
they've been
yeah.
doing the same things for cold opens for quite a while now.
Yeah, they literally did this last week with the mayoral race where they had Trump pop up
right.
and just yammer to the camera for minutes on end. It's the exact same thing. It's this. Yeah. This I don't know. This cold open felt very lazy to me.
It really. Very lazy. This was, yeah, I mean, and it wasn't going over well. There wasn't a whole lot of laughter from the audience. And I'm so sick of SNL just like reenacting exactly what happened. It's just, it's so lazy. And I'm just so sick of this Mad Libs style of comedy.
Yeah. Like even JAJ didn't seem too into it. Like he kind of,
yeah.
it felt like he was kind of sleepwalking through it. I mean, I'm glad he got other chances to shine in this episode, which we'll get
yes.
to, but yeah, he felt really kind of like, you know, like just kind of sleepwalking through this one. Like, I think we're getting.
Well, I feel like the writers are kind of sleepwalking through it because they're writing the same cold open over and over and over, where it's just
yeah.
Trump interrupts and then he free associates for 3 minutes, and we're all supposed to go ha 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 ha, isn't it funny? And it's just like, I don't feel like they're really meeting the moment.
No, they're not.
What's happening? And I mean, like. He had a stray line in there where he was like, oh, the Grinch, I play golf with the Grinch sometimes. And I'm like, that's a far better sketch right there. Trump playing golf with the Grinch. That's at least something we haven't seen before.
Yeah, Trump being friends with the Grinch. They have a lot in common. They like taking gifts and things from the poor people around the holidays.
Right. You know,
Boom.
Like, I mean, have like Trump playing golf with the Grinch and then like, as Trump is describing some of the stuff he does, even the Grinch is like, oh, geez, I don't know, man. That's going a little far. I mean, I stole
yeah.
all the gifts from Whoville, but even I had second thoughts about that. You're like trying to take away health care from and food stamps from people.
Yeah, that's something. That's just more interesting
yeah.
than just literally just, you know, regurgitating exactly what happened over the week to the camera with
right.
some okay jokes here and there. Like
you need what I want to see SNL doing is I want to see them exaggerating it to the point of further absurdity. I realize that's
yeah.
a tough thing to do because reality is so absurd right now, but that's what you are supposed to do as comedy sketch comedy professionals.
Yeah, like somebody's writing this from the Lampoon. They should know how to do shit like that.
Right. Like, okay, this is going way back, but I remember like when I first started watching SNL, and I started watching in like the mid 80s because, you know, I'm an old.
Yeah.
I remember like when Mark Harmon hosted, they did a sketch where they did a Charlie's Angels parody with Jessica Hahn, Fawn Hall, and Donna Rice. And the joke was that they were like this new Charlie's Angels and they're all trying to sabotage the presidential race. So that was like taking three big stories in the news. You know, like Fawn Hall from the Iran-Contra affair and Jessica Hahn and Jessica Hahn from the Baker, the televangelist guy, and Donna Rice, who is the woman that was with Gary Hart and that derailed his presidential campaign. And you know, like the premise was like they were all trying to sabotage the presidential race. And it's like tying three news stories together, but in an exaggerated way. And we don't see anything like that before anymore. It's just like, oh, here's what happened in the news, and we're just represent it with a few laugh lines.
Yeah, like they should. Yeah, they should be taking what happened in the news and making like a brand new sketch around that. Like, just take
right.
just take the events, use that as the basis for a sketch, and then just create something out of that. Just flip it and make some new shit out of it. But yeah, they're just literally just reheating the past, you know, events to us and serving it up. Like, I don't know, like for
yeah,
for
the, it really yeah. does feel like leftovers.
It really does. I mean, for the past while, like I've really felt like the cold open should be the thing that gets you really hyped up for the show. And just lately,
exactly.
it just felt like the thing I have to endure in order to get
yes.
to the show.
Yeah, and you know, and yeah, and it's just become a drag to watch most of the cold opens now, and it's
yeah.
really become a problem because you're starting the show kind of already behind. So
yeah, very
it's
much
just
so.
Too bad. I hope they figure it out, and I don't know why the cold opens have gotten so bad in the last year or two, but They really have. And
yeah. Get it together, SNL.
Get it together. This is an intervention.
That's right. Get your act together, man.
So next we got Nikki Glaser monologue. Good long monologue. We always do that adorable thing. We're a stand-up host where they get a hand mic.
Yeah.
Because stand-ups don't know what to do if they don't have a mic in at least one of their hands.
Yeah, like do I hands go in my pockets? Do I wildly exaggerate my hands, use lots of gestures like an Italian mom? What do I do with my hands?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be weird enough where you step out onto that stage at Studio 8H and you've got to basically stay on your mark. Because like a lot of stand-ups, especially like Nikki Glaser, like you wander the stage, you walk around, you cover the whole area. And I was rewatching the monologue and I'm like, oh, she just has to stay in that one spot. That's got to feel weird.
Yeah, I got to rewatch that again. I feel like some other comics like maybe moved around a little bit, but now that I think about it, yeah, they never moved around that much.
No.
Which is interesting.
So, yeah, she packed a lot into this. She referred to New York City as Epstein's original island.
Oof.
She talked about spray tans.
Yeah.
Saying it's not blackface, but it is Guatemalan leg.
Yeah. Good line. Not a bad line. Yeah. She talked about how it's bad for you with all that spray tan, and she'd feel like sooner or later people would start getting tan lung.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know,
there'll be a class lawsuit.
Yeah. And then they'll start sounding like RFK Jr. when they talk. He looks like he has somebody that has stage 2 tan lung. You know, I'm no medical expert, but then again, neither is he.
Yes. She talks about like doing her nails, going to the nail salon, somehow pivots to slavery from that. And then talking about how in women's restrooms, there's always a poster asking if you're being trafficked. I had no idea that was a thing.
I had no idea that was a thing. I was like, really?
Okay.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
We don't spend a whole lot of time in the women's restrooms, but apparently that's what you ladies have going on.
Yeah. I haven't done that since college, but yeah, like apparently, hey.
Holy cow.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Then she talks about her boyfriend.
She talks about her boyfriend who, has these, a short boyfriend, and she has some nice jokes about, I could never get his face on a taller model. It's like a hot guy on discount. He's 10% off.
It's a good joke. That's a good one. She also talked about how boyfriend's short. He's, because he's a short man, he's filled with like short man rage, and she's sure one day he's going to like kill her. So that's why she keeps the gun on the high shelf so he can't get it.
Right.
This is a lot of racy jokes here. I mean,
also about how her 4-year-old nephew apparently wants to shower with her, and the kid's parents are cool with that. One where I was just like, what? That's a thing? Okay. What? Huh?
I guess some parents are cool with I don't want to sound like a prude or nothing, but
yeah,
I don't know.
That's kind of out there for me, but you know, maybe. Maybe I'm the problem. I don't know.
quite a monologue. Got some slavery, sex trafficking jokes. Got some jokes about your boyfriend murdering you. Got some pedophile jokes.
How do you become a pedophile? Yeah. Because you don't get to choose what you're into.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and she's like, hey, I got into pickleball, so who knows? what a way to end it.
Yeah, pickleball, it's a gateway sport to other things.
Yeah, to the harder core sports.
Yes.
Not a
bad monologue. I mean, it seems like a few people aren't cool with the whole sex trafficking part she talked about. But, I mean, other, sex trafficking aside, I thought it was a pretty good monologue here.
Sex trafficking aside.
that joke or that chunk of joke.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah, but I mean, she's known for joking about like everything and anything.
She traffics in outrageous humor. Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Like it's sort of in the same wave of like, Louis C.K. or something like that, where they talk about taboo things and whatnot. And,
Right.
Yeah. Overall, not a bad monologue, I'd say. Pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I never really worry when we have a stand-up doing hosting, you know, because I'm just like, okay, if nothing else, if everything else in the show sucks, I get to see, like, 5 to 10 minutes of good stand-up, so.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. Shane Gillis, but, yeah, other than that.
I mean, the exception that proves the rule. Yeah.
shout out to Shane.
So our first sketch, karaoke night. So we got Sarah Sherman. She's meeting her boyfriend's family for the first time. She's going out with them on their tradition of the family karaoke night. And Nikki Glaser gets up on stage with her brother, Tommy Brennan, who is Sarah's boyfriend. And they are singing that Goo Goo Dolls song from City of Angels. I forget what it's called. Was it called Iris? Was that it?
It was. Don't act like you don't know Iris. Come on.
Yeah. No, I literally just put in my notes Goo Goo Dolls song from City of Angels, and I was doing well to remember that.
Okay. Yeah.
I know how the song goes, but yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to make you sound like somebody has like the City of Angels soundtrack on repeat or something.
I do not. Nothing against that song or that movie. I've never actually seen that movie.
Me neither. I know
I'm not opposed to watching it. I know Andre Brower's in it. Dennis Franz is in it.
Ooh.
For those reasons alone, I'm willing to check out that movie.
Okay.
But I'm not in a rush to see it because it came out like 25 years ago.
John, you have got to see City of Angels. But yeah, like I kind of saw the twist of this coming, like brother and sister go up on stage. They sing a wildly inappropriate, song that kind of, insinuates that they've intimacy.
They're getting it on.
Yes. I was trying to class it up, but yes, you know, they're trying. Yeah, exactly. And,
we're in Vogelcheck territory now.
Very much so. And then they, after that, they sing Boys to Men, I'll Make Love to You.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the mom and dad are cool with it. They're cheering them on. And of course, Sarah, as the girlfriend, is horrified by all of this.
Yeah.
Saying, like, oh.
And they're like, what? What's going on? Like, my sister and I, we shared a bedroom till she left for college.
Yeah. And Sarah goes, oh, that's late, no?
And
then we have the father, Andrew Dismukes. He gets up and sings with his daughter the same song that he sung at her wedding, and of course that is Too Close by Next, R&B jam from the 90s, who, if you don't know, it's a huge song that was a big deal in the 90s about dancing so close to a woman that you get an erection. And
oh, well,
I'm not even joking. Yeah, it's
okay. It was a hit. All right. Well,
it got a lot of yeah.
You can write a song about everything.
It happens, man. Yeah.
Then Tommy Brennan is like, "Hey, Sarah, you and I will sing a song together." And he sings, "You've Got a Friend in Me" from Toy Story. Ha 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 ha.
Yes. And then Nikki says, tells her, "Oh, you feel like your family already, sis," and kisses her on the mouth.
Yeah.
Pretty
predictable sketch, honestly. I wasn't too enamored of this one.
Yeah, according to my research, I found that Tommy Brennan actually opened a number of times for Nikki back when he was doing stand-up. So this is sort of a bit of a reunion for them.
That's neat. Okay, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's nice. But aside from that, yeah, this sketch is kind of predictable, kind of like, once you see, like, oh, okay, they're family members that are being,
right. I've also seen several other things with family members doing karaoke together, singing inappropriately sexual songs. I mean, the earliest thing I can remember seeing that was like back in Arrested Development, and that's like years ago. Jason Bateman and Maybe are singing Afternoon Delight to each other.
Yes. Oh, wow. I haven't thought about that in forever.
Yeah. But so it's well-trod comic territory, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty thin premise for a sketch. I thought it was okay.
I thought the performances were good. I just... you know, you want a comedy sketch to surprise you. And I wouldn't say this ever really surprised me.
Nah, not at all. It was
so
once I saw the twist, I was like, okay. And then it just kind of stayed at meandering until the end.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Next up, we got a pre-tape next. We got the Spirit Tunnel Anxiety. John, are you familiar with the Jennifer Hudson Spirit Tunnels?
Not only am I not really familiar with the Jennifer Hudson Spirit Tunnel, although I think I've seen clips of it, but I didn't know that that is what it was from. I actually Googled after I watched the sketch, does Jennifer Hudson have a talk show?
Oh my God. Yes,
she does. So
you didn't even know she had a talk show?
I think I might have vaguely heard that she had a talk show, but I'm not really up on the daytime TV. I know The View is still a thing. I know that Whoopi Goldberg is on that.
Do you know about Drew Barrymore's talk show?
I've seen clips of Drew Barrymore's talk show. Some clips of Drew Barrymore's talk show have made their way to my YouTube wanderings. Jennifer Hudson, not so much.
Okay. And of course, I forget the country singer from American Idol whose name is. Oh, Kelly Clarkson. Oh, you know of her talk show.
Kelly Clarkson. Yes, yes. Okay. I've seen a clip or two of her show.
Okay.
I know that Ellen is no longer a thing.
No, she got the hell out of the country before it all went to pot. So for those that don't know, Jennifer Hudson has a daytime talk show, and she had this thing called the Spirit Tunnel, where basically when a guest is making their way to stage, they have to, you know, walk through the hallways to the stage. So what happens is the crew, like the writing staff.
Like the staff, yeah.
They stand on either side of the hallway and like kind of cheer the person on as they walk to stage. So they clap their hands, they make a little song about their name with their name in it, you know. And they'll be like John Trumbull, yeah, he's the man. Or so, and like the person has to like kind of, you know, like a Soul Train line, walk through them and do a little dance. And
yeah, that sounds like an absolute nightmare. and they show clips of like some real celebrities doing it, and Simon Cowell in particular looked horribly uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Like if you're somebody that can dance and has rhythm, you love it. But if you're somebody who cannot dance, it is a living waking nightmare. And like they put them up online, they go viral. So the thing that, you know, they do quite a bit. So it gets seen by a lot of people. So
I think I've seen some clips of this, but I wasn't aware what it was from or what the context was, and I didn't really care enough to investigate. But like I said, to an introverted person, repressed white dude like myself. Absolute nightmare. I don't even like it. That thing in weddings where everybody like gets into a circle and then like one person dances in the center and then you like point to the next person. Yeah. No, thank you. I will be sitting quietly in a corner, nursing a beer, making sarcastic remarks about the people who are dancing. Is my lane.
Right on, man. That's what's up. I'm with you. But yeah, so that's what the Spirit Tunnel is. So with this next pre-tape, we see Nikki Glaser in what looks like a pharmaceutical drug ad, you know, talking about, are you anxious, overwhelmed, you have a feeling of dread.
Right.
We find out that it's Nikki Glaser speaking as herself, you know, talking about the anxiety of going through the Spirit Tunnel. And, you know, she feels trapped as an uncoordinated white woman to go through that. So now she has this new drug called Hudsicillin that she takes.
Hudsicillin, which it doesn't relieve your anxiety. It makes you so violently ill, you'll have no choice but to cancel.
It's made with E. coli, influenza, C. diff, and rancid buttermilk.
Yeah, yeah. And then, and so she's like, oh, you know, I took this. And then 30 seconds later, I was so ill, I didn't know what end of me to to use the toilet. So, And then the twist at the end is that it goes to another celebrity and we see Marcello dancing. And that's like the only time we see him in this episode outside of Good Nights, which was, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, he was also in the cold open as Dr. Oz, but yeah, that's really, another light week for Marcella. I'm a little surprised about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie and say I missed him, but I will just say, well, that's unusual for SNL at this point in time because he's popular.
Yeah, like I thought SNL was all in on the Marcello-fication of the show, but yeah, it seems like he's kind of taking a backseat.
I think it just goes to show what a crapshoot the show is. That, you know, even pretty popular people can have weeks where they got nothing or next to nothing on the show. So
yeah, it's one moment you're up, the next you're down. That's life.
I enjoyed this. This was cute. Didn't overstay its welcome. It was all right.
It was cool. Yeah, it was fine.
I just remembered that Nikki Glaser was on Dancing with the Stars for a hot minute. And I think...
Yes, she was.
I think she was one of those people who was eliminated really early.
That sounds familiar. Comedians always go pretty early on that show.
From what I understand, Andy Richter is having a great run. Because apparently...
Nice.
Everybody loves Andy Richter so much that the audience is always voting for him every week. And so he's hanging on way past the time when he normally would have dropped away. Because, like, he's not getting great scores in the judges, but the audience loves him so much.
I'm with that. Andy, I feel like Andy Richter is, like, underrated sometimes at how funny
national
and
treasure
quick he is.
National treasure.
Thank you. Yeah. You get it.
Yeah. Well, of course I get it. Of course I get it. What? I'm not up on the Jennifer Hudson talk show phenomenon, but, you know, Andy Richter, yes, absolutely.
Thumbs up, Andy Richter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friend of the podcast, Andy Richter.
Yes. He doesn't know he exists, but friend of the podcast.
No. Friend in our heads.
Friend in our heads. Parasocial relationship with the podcast.
Yeah. Absolutely. So next up, we got our next live sketch, Beauty and Mr. Beast. John, do you know who the hell is Mr. Beast?
I was aware there was a... online personality by the name of Mr. Beast. I didn't really know anything about this person beyond that or have much any curiosity to know about him. But apparently he is one of the most popular people on YouTube. He is like a millionaire or a billionaire who's like, hey, do these heinous fear factor type things and then I will give away some of my money to you.
Yeah.
Am I so close? I
mean, have you watched him? God, no. I haven't seen any. Okay. I've heard the name, you know, according to Wikipedia. Yeah, he's like an American YouTuber, media personality, businessman. He's the third most followed person on TikTok. He has over 119 million followers on there. And, you know, he does philanthropic efforts and events and things like that. And, yeah, he seems to have like a shit ton of money.
I mean, I looked him up on Wikipedia so I could just get a basic primer on you.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what Mr. Beast is about. And 6 months from now, I will likely forget most of that.
As you should. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know much about him, but from this sketch, I just kind of got the impression, he seems to be like a dead-eyed billionaire that just gets people to.
That sounds redundant.
Right. Yeah. He just gets people to debase themselves for money and his amusement.
My first reaction when this started was I was like, another Beauty and the Beast parody? Really, SNL? Because they've done this a lot.
It's 2025, man.
We've gone to this well quite a bit. And I feel like didn't we have another Beauty and the Beast sketch within the last two or three seasons? I feel like we have.
I'll look it up, but yeah, now that you mentioned
it. I tried Googling like SNL Beauty and the Beast, and of course all the results are like Beauty and Mr. Beast, because that's the newest thing.
It does sound familiar, yeah. Like, I feel like that's... But yeah, it's basically, I mean, the title says it all. It's Nikki Glaser as Belle, and she's in... You know, stuck in his home with Mr. Ben Marshall as Mr. Beast, who's like a, you know, looks like an amalgam of the YouTuber Mr. Beast.
And, he's got horns, but he's also got like the goatee that the Mr. Beast guy has. Yeah, I mean, the costume's very impressive. I don't know if they were brand new costumes or if they were recycled from a previous Beauty and the Beast sketch. I feel like it's probably the latter, but still very impressive. they have a song, You're Depressed, to the tune of Be Our Guest. They do that SNL thing where they're cutting to reviews and including, I don't get it, says every person over 25. And, you know, same.
Same.
End of the sketch, he's saying like, oh, I'll give you $10,000 if you live for 30 days in a smart car with two greased up sumo wrestlers. And
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. The premise for this is pretty slim.
I found out something interesting when I was searching for other SNL Beauty and the Beast sketches. Apparently, there's a comedy troupe called Studio C that did a very similar sketch of Beauty and Mr. Beast, and it aired or it went up online just days before SNL's.
Oh, uh-oh.
Yeah, and I watched that sketch, and they're not too much alike. I feel like it's probably a coincidental creation, because let's face it, Beauty and Mr. Beast is pretty low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, it's a bad pun.
I totally get how two different people could hit on that same idea, but you would think maybe someone at SNL might have found out about the Studio C version and said, oh shit, maybe we shouldn't do that. So, but
I don't know. I hope they just would have seen the script for this one and be like, oh, we shouldn't do this.
that's all it would have taken. Well, maybe we shouldn't do this because it's not very good on its own.
that's my hope. But yeah, so the one, damn, bam, God.
You would have thought they just had that moment of clarity on their own part.
You guys, this isn't good. We shouldn't
do this. Oh, shit. Oh, no. We're not good at our jobs. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Oh, no. I question every decision in my life that's led me to this point. Oh, no.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. But yeah, so the one you're thinking about that they did recently was 3 years ago on the Willem Dafoe episode. They did a Beauty and the Beast sketch there.
Right.
Where Willem was Belle's father, and she looks at him through the mirror, and he's doing wildly.
There were a lot of boner jokes, right?
Yeah.
It was like she was looking at him through the magic mirror, and he was like going through a ritual of he was getting ready to pleasure himself, right?
Yeah. Low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
No pun intended. Yeah. But yeah. And yeah, this sketch is just kind of whatever. I didn't love it, but. From that to a sketch I actually did like quite a bit, another pre-tape, American Girl Dolls XL.
Yeah, premise here, American Girl Dolls, big toy fad, like lots of little girls had them, loved them, but now those girls they're all grown up, and so we also want American Girl Dolls that are larger and all grown up. And they're like, hey, this one's a judge, this one's an astronaut, this one's this. And then we cut to Andrew Deuce Meeks, and he's like, oh, mine's a nurse, and she takes such good care of me.
Yeah, it's like, I like this one quite a bit just because of the way it ramps up. Because it's like you said, like at first it's all these women talking about these empowering girl dolls. Like, oh, this one's an astronaut, right. This one's, you know, a judge. And then you see Deuce Meeks being kind of a creepy guy with his doll. And then it just kind of builds. And then it's the women again talking about how empowering these dolls are. And then it's Dismukes and Ben. And he's saying, my doll's feet are so lifelike. And then like,
and she wants to be a singer. That's why her mouth is always open. And she's got that perfectly round O shape to her mouth. And you're just like, oh no. Oh, we're treating these like.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. And like, as the sketch goes on, like, the creepy guys kind of keep on dominating this sketch, like to the point where at the end, it's like all dudes just talking about these sex dolls and what they're doing to them. And
we have Cam Patterson, no relation, saying mine looks like my brother's wife. And Nick Glaser is like the host being like, wait, that's not even a historical figure. That's not like Amelia Earhart or anything like that.
I think just Mukes at one point says, I made up my own story from my own backstory for my doll. She's from Lithuania. And Nick is like, no, she's American. And she says, well, she is now. And he put a ring on it.
Yeah, yeah. And then we get a couple of guys are like, oh, mine churns butter, and mine's an Olympic skier, and they're making like these gestures with their hands.
Yeah, and then
these sort of pumping motions going up and down or back and forth, and you know what I'm saying.
Wink, right? Wink, wink.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
You're listening to this on the internet, most likely.
Know what I mean? Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
And it gets to the point where even like JAJ takes over as a spokesperson and kind of pushes Nikki to the side, and you know, as the whole thing. And yeah, the whole thing just becomes like the, you know, creepy dudes just sort of hijacking these American doll, XL dolls for their
own. As creepy dudes are wont to do, yes.
As they are wont to do. And I like the sketch quite a bit. This might be my sketch of the night. I like the buildup of it. Some pretty solid jokes here. You know, guys talking about, hey, look how the hair is super strong. And you can like pull, they're pulling on the girl's wig. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I knew where it was going, like right from the rip, but it was still funny and it was well performed, and yeah. So I enjoyed it. I don't think it's my sketch of the week, but
okay, all right, fair enough.
But yeah, solid choice. I believe I gave it a like on the YouTube.
All right, well done, sir. All right. Next up, let's talk about the fever dream insanity that is Mechanical Bull.
Boy, this really got out there. Okay, so we got in a cowboy bar. Veronica is having a bachelorette party, and there's a Mechanical Bull in the center, and then immediately like Veronica's like, oh hey, it's my bachelorette party, and woo, I'm gonna have a good time. And then like early on, Jane Wickline says, oh, I wish you were getting married to me, and then she leaves.
Yeah, that kind.
Which is so weird and so out of place, and it's never referred to again. And I was like, why is this here other than to give Jane Wickline a bit in the show?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminded me. They did something like that in the Chalamet episode, the last one, where they were like in the barista's in the coffee house where she says something that embarrasses herself and she like leaves the sketch immediately. So they kind of, I feel like they kind of did it here. But then again, if you hear Wickline.
And was Wickline in that sketch too?
Yeah, that was her. She's the one that did in that sketch. So maybe that's her thing. But also, she sounded her voice was hoarse. Like she was maybe getting over a cold. So I wonder,
I just think it's weird because I just think, like, time is precious in a comedy sketch, particularly in a live show. I'm just like, why is it here? Because it just confuses what the sketch is going to be about. It's like, oh, is this about the bridesmaid who has a crush on the bride? No, it has nothing to do with anything. Okay. Why did you spend 30 seconds on that then?
I guess they just thought it was like a funny non sequitur.
A nice little
aside, but I don't know.
I didn't find it particularly funny, so it was just a non sequitur for me.
So at this bachelorette party, we see two of the bachelorettes, Nikki and Sarah Sherman, both of them getting on the Mechanical Bull at the same time.
Right.
Which they shouldn't be doing. Then we see Dismukes as the MC telling Andre Keenan as the man who operates the Mechanical Bull not to operate it, but then he
and then Keenan goes off on his dilemma about should I allow this or should I not, and then he accidentally sets the bull to Bon Voyage, so the bull breaks out of the bar, and then we've got the Mechanical Bull in front of a green screen, and they're just journeying through the country, and then journeying through time, and
Then we have like JAJ coming in, who sort of sings the ballad of, as they say, the drunk bitches on a Mechanical Bull, and he's kind of doing like a sing songy thing, like the ballad of Paul Bunyan or something like that, but it's about two drunk women on a Mechanical Bull. They get hit with birds and bees. They eat cheese in Wisconsin.
Throwing a lot of props at them. Yeah.
And then they get shot at by the missiles because the Navy identified them as a hostile.
Right. Because they're shooting down all the ships in the ocean right now.
Yeah. And then the bull travels the speed of light. And then the bull talks to the camera saying things are going to get weird here. And then they meet Galileo.
We're in like firm Bill and Ted's territory now.
It gets so weird. And at one point, I did get a chuckle.
You got a kickle, sure. Yeah.
I got a kickle. I got a chuckle out of when J.A.J. refers to Sarah Sherman by name as to throw water in her face again and hit her with another fish.
Yeah, that was all right.
Yeah, this sketch is a wild swing. It is a wild, wild swing.
It is, and it's one of those sketches that I found just more weird than funny. So it's very weird for the sake of being weird. And normally I'm a big one for, let's, throw some weird shit at us. But I found this weird, but I didn't find it especially funny. So it didn't really work for me.
Yeah, like, pardon me, this feels like something they might have done in, like, the 80s or, I don't know, they really got weird with this one. I keep saying weird, but it isn't, this was an odd one. Like, part of me
that's the word for this one, yeah.
It's, yeah, like, part of me is impressed that they were so ambitious with this, that they just were like, let's go balls to the wall with this sketch that is clearly a 10-1, but it's like up in the front of the show.
It's before update. Yeah, it's before the musical guest, even. So.
Yeah, so like part of me is impressed by it, but yeah, did I find it laugh out loud funny?
I didn't. I didn't. So it didn't. It wasn't entirely successful in my mind.
But it is impressive. I will say that.
It is impressive. I mean, I was somewhat amused by them throwing props at the two of them. I just.
Yeah, and
Didn't really float my boat. I mean, I can't really put it better than that, I guess.
Okay, so. No, fair enough. And J.J. was a good balladeer. Play the guitar.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, he did all right. Hmm. So next up, we got our musical guest, Somber, with two tracks.
Somber.
Yeah. Two tracks. Somber. He played 12 to 12 and Back to Friends.
Back to Friends. And Somber is apparently one of these musicians who does not believe in capital letters.
Yeah,
I think... Spells his name all lowercase. Back to Friends, also spelled all lowercase on the YouTubes.
Yeah, like, I've noticed that young peoples, they're out, for some reason today, they enjoy having all their album tracks in lowercase letters. If you go to, like, any...
It's a artist, very E.E. Cummings sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the trend is there, like, because like if you
Prince. I think I blame Prince. Yeah,
I put the blame solely at Prince's feet.
Yeah, you know, because Prince started that whole, you know, I'm going to use the number 2 and the number 4 instead of the words 2 and 4. I'm gonna just put the letter U instead of the word U. Like, he loved that shit. Right. And I feel like a whole generation or two after that is like, I'm going to start doing that too. And,
I'm going to use lowercase letters and numbers. I'm going to start spelling my name with a dollar sign and a
schwa. Oh, yeah. The whole Kesha thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And I always have to, when I'm typing up the titles of these podcasts, I always have to write a note to Frank. And I was like, well, Frank, remember that this musician writes their name all lowercase letters. We want to make sure we get that right so we don't get a lot of grief from their fans.
Yeah, we don't want the Somber hive coming at us.
Yeah, no, we don't. We don't.
Yeah, and I also found out, so he's called Somber because his actual name is Shane Michael Bose, or Booze, Bose?
Mm-hmm.
Shane Michael Bose, SMB Somber. That's basically where you get it from.
Okay.
And another little fun tip that I found out. So Kenan Thompson's first episode on SNL was in October 4th, 2003. Somber was born
conceived during that episode?
Somber was born July 5th, 2005. So our musical guest was alive. like by the time he was born, Kenan has been on the show for at least 2 years.
I mean, as I always like to say, children that were conceived during Kenan's first season are now old enough to drink.
Insane.
It is insane. I mean, so what did you think of Somber's music? I mean, he's this young, strapping young lad, like whisper thin. Got great cheekbones. Looks kind of like Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah, he does. So much so. Like, trying to dress like all glam rocky, like Bowie. And he also was just nominated for Best New Artist at the Grammys. So,
well, that's good for him. Yeah. That's nice. That's nice for him.
Good
he
for
seems
you.
Like a nice young man.
Yeah. The first track I thought was okay. It has mm-hmm. like a nice little catchy beat to it. The mix sounded kind of low for some reason. I don't know if it was just me or if my hearing's going, but it sounded a little not great. But like you know, I like the first song. The second song I thought was all right. I don't know if
it I think I like 12 to 12 a little better than Back to Friends too.
Yeah, it was a little bit more catchier. Like the Back to Friends
song. He did, however, climb up on a ladder at the end.
I kind of enjoyed. Yeah, I was about to say that. I don't know if this song called for him climbing up on scaffolding and hanging from the stage like a jungle gym, like he does. But you know, do what you got. You know, hey, Benson Boone's doing backflips. You got to do up the ante and do something, I guess.
Every musician on SNL wants to up the ante now.
Yes,
and I blame Kanye for that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Kanye has this. Benson Boone does black backflips.
Just to review, I blame Prince for the name stuff. I blame Kanye for the extensive stagecraft stuff.
Wow. Just blaming all the black artists, John. I see.
I really am. I mean, my racism is just coming out in full force this
week.
I mean, why even hold back at this point? It's all so normalized.
John's going to be in the part of the new administration now with that type of talk.
It seems to be the only place you can get steady work these days, so...
Good work.
I think we should tackle the big question is, does Lorne Michaels, 80-year-old Lorne Michaels, know who Samba is?
Absolutely not.
There's no way, right?
I'm in my 40s and I didn't know who Samba is. So
right. I'm in my 50s. I never heard of him until he was announced as a musical guest. So there's no way that Lorne Michaels, 80-year-old Lorne Michaels, knows who Samba is.
No, God, no. He thinks he's either Finn Wolfhard or Martin Hurley, one of those two.
Yes, he thinks he's one of those two people. Maybe Martin Hurley playing Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah. Oh, is Tim's son doing a music thing today?
that's nice. Yes.
The Hurley boy. Oh, no. Okay.
The Hurley boy, yes. Well, it's good. He's branching out.
Trying different things, yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad we settled that question. Shall we move on to Weekend Update with Colin Jost and Michael Che?
We shall. Michael Che.
Michael Che. Covering a lot of big stories in the news this week. We got the executive collapsing in the Oval Office as we cover in the cold open. We got a new mayor elected for New York City.
Yeah, I did like the joke Che had about that where... You know, people, of course, on the right calling Mamdani far left and a jihadist. And it's like, it's impossible. You can't be both. It's like, what, are you going to turn ISIS into VASIS?
Yeah.
It's like, that was a good
joke. That was a good joke.
Even Che was like, I worked really hard on that one, Che.
Yeah. Yeah. I like when Che has like a little parenthetical comment about his joke and how it went over as when the camera cuts back to Joe's. I enjoy that. I also liked his line about Cuomo campaigning in a white Ford Bronco in the last days of the campaign. And he says, at least OJ was ahead in the race for a while.
I was just about to, that's a solid one. I thought that was good.
That was a solid one.
Yeah. I also like the one where it talks about the new trailer that came out for the Michael Jackson biopic. And, you know, like Michael, the movie starts out dark, but it ends in a much lighter tone.
Yeah. I should also say that there was a moment from Che that really kind of pissed me off. Uh-oh. Was he brought up Stormy Daniels. And he referred to her as a mattress actress, which, you know, fine, that's a clever turn of phrase. Yep. And, you know, she's done adult films and all that. But he referred to her as being as extorting money from Trump. She was paid hush money. That's not really the same thing as extorting. Cause everything I heard about that story was the Trump administration was paying her hush money. Not she was like trying to blackmail or extort money from them. I mean, I think there's a distinction to be made there. And that kind of pissed me off a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. That's a fair point. I didn't even think about that, but, I don't know. I guess it's just one of the things to just kind of put that aside just to tell you this joke. I mean, it was a fine joke.
You
were willing
to put it aside because you hate women. I get it.
Wow.
I get it.
You with the black people and me. Well, all right.
Yeah, no, I get it. We all have our crosses to bear. We all have our issues to overcome, Darren.
Exactly. Like, give me grace. I'm trying to work through this. Please, grant me the grace and serenity to work through my troubles during this troubling time. I'm trying to heal everybody.
Right. I get it. We're all trying to heal, Darren.
This is my nationwide apology. Like, I like to apologize.
And it was a good one. It was a good
Thank
one.
You, right? Thank you. I've been practicing.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
It shows.
Yes. Not a bad weekend update. But we got this death segment here. Holy moly. It's the return of Pete Davidson. And he talks about his and Colin Jost's Staten Island Ferry debacle.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not. I'm getting a feeling you're not crazy about this.
I wasn't crazy about it.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
Did you like it? I did not care for it.
I thought he had some good jokes in here. I thought, like, you know, Colin, you're looking great as ever. Che, you know, starting to crack.
Yeah.
You
know, he talked about, he was like, oh, you know, in case you're wondering why I had to do a show in Saudi Arabia, it's because we bought this thing. And it's like, apparently there was an article in the news somewhere about what a money pit this thing has proven to be for Justin and Davidson.
Yeah. Apparently that's not going over great.
Yeah. And Pete Davidson talked about how he's excited to be a dad because is he married now or is he like just having a kid with his significant other? Because honestly, the moment Pete Davidson left SNL, I was like, great. I don't have to ever give a shit about Pete Davidson's personal life ever again.
But
so I only sort of vaguely know. I think I did hear that he was having a kid.
Yeah, he's definitely having a kid with his girl. I don't believe they're married, but they are together.
Okay.
His lady.
Right. Yeah. And he was like, I'm excited to be dad. It was all the energy I never put into this show.
I mean, he also talked about RFK, how he understands where RFK Jr. is coming from, because he wouldn't be famous without his dad dying either.
Right.
Thank God for that. And of course, you know, he's saying he's not giving up on his ferry, which he calls the Titanic 2, because if Lauren taught us anything, it's that you never give up, even if everyone is telling you it's time and Tina Fey is ready to take over.
Yeah, that was a good line.
There's some good stuff in here.
Here's my feeling.
All right.
Okay. This is just kind of a message to Colin and Pete. Guys, I don't really give a shit about your ferry. I've heard about it so much on the show. I don't care that there was a story about it in the news this week, and I really don't want to have 4 minutes of the show devoted to it. I mean, it's just, it seems so self-indulgent, and I just don't care. I don't fucking care.
Interest. All right. I mean,
that's my feeling.
No, I mean, I know that the ferry is like sort of the jumping off point to like this segment, but I mean, they don't talk. I guess they sort of do talk mostly about it, but I mean, I thought there was like enough other jokes in here to sort of keep me entertained and whatnot. Like, they don't talk. Like, I see what you mean. Like, not everybody. It seems like him and them in the ferry, it feels like something that everybody's talking about, but at the same time, not people aren't talking about it really. It seems like it's just being pushed into the zeitgeist by, you know, maybe the social media, whatever.
Yeah, it's become this narrative on the show, and I mean, I don't really keep track of the chatter outside the show itself, and you know what we research for the podcast and stuff. But I don't know. I've reached the limits of how much I care about their ferry.
Yeah, I think
if it's not working out, sell the fucking ferry. I don't care. I don't care about the ups and downs of your financial situation. I really don't.
Yeah, it feels like at this point SNL is the one that's talking the most about the ferry. And maybe some, like, you know, some media outlets are just bringing it up because they think people care in general. But I don't think we care about the ferry.
Look, I'm going to take a leap that even if this ferry has lost however much money they said it's lost, I didn't write it down. They're still both doing okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Especially Colin.
Yeah, he's got Avengers money. He'll be all right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, his wife has Avengers money, but...
Well, I mean, by proxy, he has that, you know, what's mine is yours.
Perhaps they have a joint checking account. I don't know the ins and outs of their finances, but... I don't think Colin Jost is hurting.
They got an account at TD Bank. Yeah, they're doing all right.
And, like, it also annoyed me a little because there was also, like, a super funny story in the news this week, and they did not comment on it at all this
week. Which one was that?
The sandwich guy.
Oh, right, yeah.
Guy, his trial, he was, like, found not guilty. Like, the guy who threw a sandwich, a Subway sandwich, at an ICE guy. An ICE agent. And this was actually a lawsuit, and we got, you know, it's like, oh, well, like I smelt the mustard and the onions, and the sandwich exploded against my chest. And it's like, oh, well, the sandwich still seems to be intact. And I'm like, oh, they should absolutely make this a sketch. And I was a little surprised they didn't make a sketch. I was really surprised it wasn't commented on during Weekend Update at all, even in passing. Because I just think that was a golden opportunity, but
maybe it just wasn't trending that well on the algorithms. Like, they seem to just go for whatever is trending big.
Yeah, I mean, I generally prefer to talk about what the show actually is rather than what I think it should have been. But this is, I feel like that was a real missed opportunity on SNL's part.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
I feel like that's a story that's tailor made for a comedy show.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, it is. Like, they could have done something with that, like, include some, you know, Blimpy Subway tie-in or something like that. They could have done something like that.
Yeah, what I suggested on my Blue Sky profile this week is we should have done, like, a MASH parody of the 4077th, and they're getting constant barrage of injured ICE agents, and they've all been injured by sandwiches or various food items.
Yeah.
And then Hawkeye is just, like, bemoaning the insanity of war. I think that could have been really funny.
Ooh, Battle of the Bulge.
That's what I would have pitched if I was in the SNL writers' room this week. That's okay. Me. But
yeah, fair enough. But instead, we got Pete being Pete and saying some. He did have a nice joke because, like, the basic premise is him wanting to turn the ferry into the new Staten Island because, as we all know, a majority of Staten Island didn't vote for Mamdani. So now it's like, oh, this Staten Island, you can all be on this ferry and it could be your new home. You know, we can't call it the Titanic because the people on this ship would actually love to run into ice. And that's Weekend Update.
That's Weekend Update. That's the whole thing. Yeah, just one death segment for you folks this week. That's it. Right. That's all you get. That's all you deserve this week.
Right.
you know what you did.
Yeah, you know what you. I saw you. I saw you.
We saw you. We saw you with your American Girl XL doll.
Yeah, we know what you did with that whipped cream.
Ooh, okay.
I'm sorry. Right. Whoa.
Moving on quickly to sorority meeting, a totally non-creepy sketch.
Yeah. this one's the whole family can enjoy. So we're in a sorority meeting at a college.
Nikki Glaser is like the head. What do you call the head person? Like the president of the sorority?
The madam? Or
I know fraternity, it's like the president of the fraternity. It's. What do you call the head of the sorority? Whatever house, the head.
Yeah. House marm? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how sororities work.
Head bitch in charge. There it is.
There you go. That's it exactly. Yes. Yeah. Head bitch in charge.
Yeah. So they talk about their Thanksgiving theme party, which will be pilgrim hoes and respectful representation of indigenous people. And then they basically give a news update about how sorority girls have been finding these boys going undercover as a woman with wearing a hyper realistic girl mask.
Right.
And, of course everybody acts surprised. And of course in the middle, we see Mikey Day wearing a very obvious, like almost creepy, like Hannibal Lecter.
Almost creepy. That was almost creepy in your book.
Very, very creepy. Very creepy.
Okay.
A very creepy, like, hyper-realistic girl. It looked like he had baloney on his face.
I thought until Mikey unmasked towards the end of the sketch, I honestly thought it was Tommy Brennan under there.
Oh, interesting. I mean, I just knew it was Mikey because it sounded like Mikey, like his voice.
Yeah, I somehow didn't peg his voice because he was doing like a fake girl voice for most of the sketch. So,
yeah, fair enough.
And, you know, there were moments I liked. I liked him, like, peeling his mask up to eat a donut.
Right. And,
we see Ashley Padilla as, like, the one sorority sister who is questioning this. And she's like, yeah, I really think Alyssa is actually a frat guy in a hyper-realistic girl mask.
What? And
the mask, it kind of looks like, what was that movie the Wayans brothers did? The White Chicks.
White Chicks.
It looked like those disturbing masks that they had in that, where they just look.
Yeah.
They don't look quite human. It's like, it's very Uncanny Valley, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty, a little unsettling. It was like, oh, Jesus.
What's
this about? But yeah, I mean, again, like a pretty thin premise, so they kind of had it with a lot of sight gags, like him vaping and the smoking coming out of his eyes. Mm-hmm. Although I watched this live, I don't think the smoke came out of his eyes during the live cut, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, it came out of the eye holes okay in the rerun on Peacock that I watched on Sunday morning, and I believe our friend Dennis Perkins in his review on Late Nighter said that the effect wasn't quite working on the live show. So I guess this is a sketch they replaced with dress.
Yeah.
Or maybe at least for those shots.
Yeah. So this is the dress rehearsal thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then, as you say, Ashley Padilla goes through the person's purse and it's like, oh, she has maxi pads, an open box of maxi pads, Beanie Babies.
Right.
And a framed picture of Hillary Clinton. You know, things that,
which seems like the what a dumb guy would think a girl would carry in her purse.
Yeah, so this is how I'm learning. This is not what women carry in their purse. So good to know.
See, apparently not. No,
the show educates.
It educates as well as entertains. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So then, like all the other,
it
girls,
should have been an unframed picture of Hillary Clinton. That's where he went wrong.
There it is. That's rookie mistake.
Should have been like wallet size.
Yes. Exactly. So, yeah, so the other girls in the frat don't believe Padilla. They all call her a liar, tell her she's wrong. Then everybody leaves. Then Mikey lifts his mask, saying, oh, my God, I can't breathe in this thing. Nikki Glaser comes back, sees him without the masks, and he says, oh, my God, I can explain. Nikki says, no need. She pulls up her face. It's Andrew Dismukes saying, your secret is safe with me.
Decent twist at the end.
Yeah.
And also impressive the way they did the cutaway. You know, because we see a close-up of Nikki Glaser, and she, like, starts to gesture, and we're doing, like, a Mission Impossible-style removal of the mask, and it's a obviously a pre-taped insert shot of Dismukes saying, like, no need, buddy, no need. And like, when you rewatch the sketch, you can kind of see the way Dismukes's, or Nikki Glaser's character is sort of casting doubt on, oh, no, it can't possibly be a guy in a realistic girl mask. So I kind of like that aspect of it. This was all right.
Yeah.
I didn't love it, but I didn't, but it was entertaining enough. And I enjoyed the twist at the end. The twist was unexpected. So.
Yeah. I will say, I thought the premise for this is pretty thin. The performances made it okay, but yeah, this is like one of the rare instances where they have a solid ending for a sketch on SNL. I was like, hey, we got an ending. We did it. All right.
We did have a definite ending. And that was like a problem with another sketch that's coming up a little later, which was a sketch I liked, but I felt like had a very weak ending.
I think so. I know which one you're talking about, and we'll get there. But first, let's talk about an animated short we got. We got Brad and His Dad, which is by Mikey and Streeter.
This was interesting. This was... I don't know how to critique this one. This is, I mean, it's just sort of like an awkward sort of slice of life thing. We got a divorced dad spending the weekend with his son, Brad. The kid just wants to play video games. The dad is like doing things like taking him to a playground, which Brad, the son, points out like, hey, I'm really kind of too old to enjoy this. They try to play football. The dad brings out a drone. It was going to be a present from his grandmother, because the dad is just like so desperate to find things to bond with his son over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He plays football with him, pelts him in the face with the football, which will always get a laugh out of me.
Sure.
I'm a simple man.
It's comedy at a base level, but yes, it's funny.
I'm a basic bitch. What can I say? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I've always said that about you.
I knew it. I knew you were the one that said that.
Yeah.
You're the guy that's been saying that online.
Yeah. Oh.
Motherfucker. So yeah, they play with a drone. The drone gets stuck in a tree, and then it just ends with Dad and Brad playing video games and enjoying themselves. And then, you know, Brad's mom takes him up. You know, Dad hugs him, tells him he loves him. You know, maybe even more than your mom. And then the drone falls out the tree, hits him on the head. I thought this was cute. I thought it was an interesting like change of tone, I guess, for SNL. I didn't expect to see something like this on SNL.
But. Yeah, it does sort of make me wonder, like, is everything okay at home with you guys? because, you know, big divorced dad energy.
yeah, Mikey, everything all right, man? You okay? Good? You all right,
Mikey,
buddy?
Everything okay? Streeter? Everything copacetic? All right?
You okay, bud?
Hope you guys are okay.
All right. Yeah, we're here for you, man. Just reach out. For
you. If you need to vent, you know.
Yeah, you know, if you want to talk or, you know, go out for a drink or whatever, just let us know. We're here.
Yeah.
You're not going through this alone. Help is right around the corner. We're here for you, man. We're here for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I thought that was charming.
It was all right. It reminded me sort of like the old Mike Judge shorts, you know, like where we had Milton, which eventually evolved into the movie Office Space and all that. It had a similar sort of vibe to that.
Yeah, very much like you said, like slice of life, kind of not a lot of huge big laughs.
No, it's not really gag oriented. It's more just vibes.
Yeah, so. All no gags, all vibes.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I enjoyed it. That was charming. Okay, next up we got I think the sketch you were talking about before with the ending, pilot announcement.
Yes. Next, we got pilot announcement. This sketch starts out with a Nikki Glaser's flight attendant saying the government shutdown has affected flights around the country. We got James Austin Johnson as the pilot, Cam Patterson, no relation, as the co-pilot, and JAJ is talking about he's met a young lady on the apps.
Yeah.
Match with a 7.5, which is my sweet spot. Out of my range, but still attainable.
I love how JAJ gets to anchor this sketch. And I thought he anchored this sketch really well. I thought
he did a wonderful job. He's got the pilot cadence down. That made it way funnier than I think it probably was on the page. I mean, and I like that he keeps updating the passengers with his texting saga, going back and forth with this woman. He was like, oh, well, I just sent a message I'm not too sure about. Let me tell you all about it. Wouldn't mind some advice from the passengers.
Yeah, like get a woman's perspective or even a gay guy. One of the nice ones.
One of the nice ones. Not a gym gay.
Modern family.
Not one who takes care of himself. Too. And we got Sarah and Andrew Dismukes as like a couple who are reacting. And we've also got Bowen and Keenan as other passengers. I don't think either one of them had any dialogue in this. It's just their reactions.
Yeah. I mean, I got the impression they were like a couple because like when he said, you know, I'd like a gay guy. And one of the nice ones, like a Modern Family type. And like you see like Bowen like motioning to – or Keenan motioning to Bowen to go up and talk to him. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. He's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And and at one point when James was like, well, he's like waiting for a response from this woman. He's like, well, she posted on her stories, so she is on her phone. I was like, oh, shit, that's too real. That is too real. I've been there. I have been there. Holy crap.
Kind of spiraling right now.
I think the sketch, it only rises to the level of pretty good though, because it didn't really have an ending. It just ended very abruptly, and he was like, hey, I got a response, so I'm just gonna drive this plane on the highway out to her so I can meet up with her. It was just a very weak ending.
If this had a stronger ending, this might be my other sketch of the night, because like
I think it still is my sketch of the night because I think it is the one I got the most enjoyment out of.
Yeah.
And so it's like a B or maybe a B plus for me.
Yeah. And I think it's mainly because of JAJ's performance. He like his you know, pilot patter. He has to unpack, and that does elevate a lot of the things he says. Like when he says, "Oh, the towers tells us said it's going to be 15 minutes. I'll come back on and tell you it's going to be 2 more hours," and like little things like that. I was like, "Oh, it's like,
And he's like, "Oh, he's on the tower," and when I say he's on the tower, he's literally on the tower. And I even like the moment that Sarah Dismukes had where she's like, "Oh, hey, I don't mind the sound of that last message that he sent. I wouldn't mind if you, like, were busting into the bathroom to watch me shower." And he and Dismukes is just like, "What? To see the same thing I see for free every day?"
Yeah, and then Sarah looks at him like she could tell
she's starting to break, yeah.
She's so close to breaking, but she just, like, gives her this crazy stare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did like the sketch quite a bit, but yeah, I really wish I had a stronger ending so I could like
love it. I know, it's just the ending, it takes it down like a letter grade for me. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, generally solid. It's just like, oh, I wish it had an ending.
Yeah.
You were so close. You were just right there on the right over the goal line and
we could have had it all.
We could have had it all.
Maybe
maybe this last sketch will pull the fat out of the fire.
Let's talk about it and see.
Pinwheel. With we get a little backstory. Where's there's this little girl went to the make believe meadow, like secret garden. It's like that. Okay, yeah, secret garden with the serial numbers filed off.
Yeah, I basically saw it as Christopher Robin and Winnie the Pooh.
Right. So, like, you know, Nikki is a little girl growing up, and she goes back to say goodbye because she's too old to do this. Excuse me.
Get all choked up.
I really am. It was so damn touching. And she's giving goodbye gifts to all her little friends. And they're like, they're sort of like Teletubbies or...
That'd be the best way. It's like, they look like bears. They're sort
of in the range of Teletubbies. Yeah.
Yeah, Teletubbies is a good way to say it.
Yeah. And we got Mikey and Jeremy, and she gives them both pinwheels, and they're like, "Oh, pinwheels!" And they're just so freaking amazed by the pinwheels, and they just can't stop playing with the pinwheels and talking about the pinwheels. And I guess the point everybody else in the sketch is like, okay, enough with the fucking pinwheels, okay?
Yeah, like, I mean, this sketch is basically kind of Mikey and Jeremy's, new cast member to Anchor. Yeah. Like, they're... overreaction and overexcitement over this pinwheel.
Right, because they're just greeting it with this childlike wonder. And everyone's just like, okay, it's a freaking pinwheel. Let's get over it.
And like you see them like just kind of playing with it and always talking about the pinwheels. To the point where Bowen has a screaming fit at them, just, "Enough with the pinwheels! I'm begging you! Please! Stop it with the pin! No! Go over there!" Like, that big outburst I thought was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, there's not much to say about this. And at the end,
I thought it was an kind of sketch. But I thought Jeremy Culhane was very good.
He
put in a great performance.
Yeah, like, I mean, he hasn't had too many moments where, you know, to like really stand out and sort of separate himself, you know, from the rest. Yeah. But I thought this was a good way for him to do that, to like really kind of showcase what he can do. And I thought he was good. Like, I mean, a lot of people sort of compared him to like Bobby Moynihan in a way.
I don't disagree.
Even kind of looks like him a little bit.
I don't think it's like entirely a breakout sketch for him.
No, not really. Like,
oh my god, what's Jeremy Culhane? But I feel like it's a good start, you know. I feel like he's ramping up a little bit. So
yeah, I thought it was a good start. And of course the sketch ends with the two characters driving Anna insane to the point that she leaves and decides never to have kids. The end. Yeah. But yeah.
Dark ending, but okay.
Yeah, just like, oh, wow. But yeah, that's a sketch. I thought it was okay. I thought it was an all right, decent sketch, I'll say.
It was all right. So overall, little disappointed in the show.
Little bit, yeah.
It wasn't quite what I was expecting for the Nikki Glick, because I like her a lot as a comic.
Yeah.
And most of the sketches were just very middle of the road.
Yeah.
It wasn't too much that really excited me or really blew me away or surprised me. So
yeah, I mean, as a sketch performer, I thought she was serviceable, but didn't really do anything that made me go, oh, wow. Nikki Glaser is a force.
No, I don't know if this is going to like bump her up to the next level the way it did for some other hosts in the past. Like, you know, it wasn't like a Justin Timberlake or a Dwayne Johnson or some other unexpectedly impressive person who became a perennial SNL host.
Yeah. You know? Overall, I thought it was a decent episode. I thought it was decent.
Yeah.
Enough about us. What do you, the listeners, think about this episode? Let's go to the blue sky because we got a whole heap of comments about this episode. I mean, mamma mia.
We did. Got a lot of feedback. People have a lot of opinions. Shall we dive in?
Let's dive in. You first.
Our friends at iHeartHater say, cold open meh, in the words of evil vampire Willow from Buffy, bored now. Nikki was a good host, gave her all in sketches. Great to see Pete Davidson in his healthy renaissance. Jeremy Colhane was absolutely adorable with Mikey Day. I could tell Mikey was being deliberate with the pinwheel poking. I've never seen this much consistent use of the whole cast in years. As usual, all the best from We Heart Hater and Saturday Night Ladies, posting under my production company now. And it's Wacky Notion Productions. Oh, damn it! You maneuvered me into giving you a plug again. Damn you!
Oh, wow.
Damn you!
Curse you, Wacky Notion!
I'm shaking my fist at you again.
Harumph, harumph.
Son!
Harumph, harumph, harumph. But yeah, thank you so much. And I enjoyed that deep cut, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That was very nice. I see what you did.
Yeah, that was good.
Our good friend.
Should I revisit that show or should I not because of the whole Joss Whedon of it all?
This is how I feel about most shows like that were made by, you know, people who we've later found out to be horrible people. Like, that one person wasn't great, but there are other people who also helped make the show that are good people that, you know, got some good messages in there. And you took something good away from
what he put out.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's up to you. Like, I can't tell you who to sock it to. It's your thing.
I generally am pretty good about separating the art from the artist, you know, especially when it's like, this is a thing that I was enjoying before I knew that this was a horrible person.
Right.
And, you know, I've gone through this also recently with Neil Gaiman as well, because you read this, some of the shit that guy was up to. Holy shit, man.
Oh, boy.
You know, but it's still like, well, I still love Sandman, man. And it's too much of my brain chemistry. And it's also weird with the Joss Whedon thing because I look so much like the fucking guy.
Oh, God. You have to wear a t-shirt that says, I am not Joss Whedon.
I know.
So people know.
And what really kills me is that he's aging more gracefully than I am. That doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem right.
The final
I'm a demonstrably better person. And
the final insult.
And I look way older than him. Oh, I don't like that. God. Don't care for that at all.
Evil 2 moisturizes.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
The evil. Oh, he's mean and he knows how proper skincare. Oh, bastard. Son of a bitch.
Why am I going grayer than him? It's not right.
Oh, curses. Look at it. All right. So Lee Hot the Lion thing. We had all these elections this week. And it was still a Trump cold open. Nobody really even laughed. It was kind of
right. This is what I'm saying. Yeah.
It was kind of awkward, but hey, here we are. Dyspedia strikes again, and it is me. And is it me? But it looked like in all the sketches, everyone was having fun. Great week. I hope she comes back. Love you guys.
Yeah. I assume they mean Nikki when saying, I hope she comes back.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess. Yeah. I was wondering, like, who's she? Is he talking?
I mean, I think Ashley Padilla contractually obligated to be there. So,
Of course.
Yeah. Let's see. Our friend John Anias says, this didn't fly as high as I might have wanted a Nikki Glaser ep to, but enough here worked for me that I mostly had a really good time. The highlight and the point where things took an upturn was the runaway mechanical bull sketch, which had such a pleasing late 80s throwback loopiness to it.
Loopy. That's a better way to describe it. That was a loopy.
Loopy is a good word for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He also says it was the first sketch that I shared with a friend after the show was done, and the trajectory of it was particularly fun given that I started the ep grousing about JAJ being Trump guy, which is the thing that I do, but this wound up being a good night for him. Yeah.
It did. Yeah.
I like that he had other things to do in the show besides Trump.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the role he had in the American Doll sketch and the Mechanical Bull and the, of course, the pilot were.
Good night for really him. Good. Man.
Yeah. So he had some good stuff showing he could do other things other than Trump. So, yeah. Our good friend Nick Storr is saying, I'd be interested to hear what others think. I enjoyed most of the sketches. There were some fun performances in there. Very funny premises, but it was just missing something, and I can't put my finger on it. Am I starting to judge episodes on if Ashley Padilla stands out?
Oh, well, you should.
You should, yeah. This was a very, this was a very light Padilla episode, so you might be on a
It kind of was. I can't remember seeing her much outside of the sorority sketch.
So,
it was a little light on her. Definitely light on Marcello.
I mean, she was in the American Doll sketch, but it was like kind of straight man stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of a quick thing. Yeah. But I've been really enjoying her this season, and she's become one of my favorite go-to people on the show. So I look forward to seeing more of her on the show.
Hear, hear.
Let's see. Red Mirror Ball at bluesky.social says, I think it was the best of the season so far. Lots of playfulness. That strayed from the typical SNL sketch format, which is always fun.
Okay.
And then John Anais chimes in again, says, on the whole, it might just be, although I would say the high points in the Amy Poehler episode, namely, not so fast, were higher. He is talking about experienced lawyers, which for me is far and away the highlight of the season so far.
Here. It's the sketch of it's the sketch of the season right now. It's the one to beat.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And our good friend Manette Moratti saying over 25, but I can say for certain that Ben Marshall's Mr. Beast impression is eerily accurate and just as depressing to learn about. Although it feels to be an impression that could easily have been done 5 years ago, too, considering how long he's been a thing on YouTube. So. Yeah, I know Beast was a thing for a minute, but I just didn't care.
So he's not just like the trendy thing of the moment. He's been around for quite a while. Which is kind of weird because it's like, okay, well, why are we parroting this person now? So I don't know. I don't know enough about Mr. Beast to really know why we're parroting him at this moment in time.
I don't know. It's just because it's Beauty and Mr. Beast. That's enough to... For a sketch, right? I fulfilled my writing obligations.
We're reaching back to this movie from 1991.
Yeah.
Mr. Beast, who's been around for at least why now?
The writer's like, because I have a deadline. That's why, Lord.
I guess so. I have a deadline and I'm dry on ideas this week. Beauty and Mr. Beast, damn it.
I throw this together not because it's good, but because it's Saturday night.
Yeah, the show doesn't go on because it's ready. It goes on because it's 11:30.
Yeah.
Stephen M. Says, serviceable. American Doll was solid. Missing Mulaney. And please don't destroy. Me too. Yeah.
Same here.
You think we'll have Mulaney host sometime this season?
Maybe.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, he's busy doing other things, but he'd always come back. I'm sure he'd be down for that.
I mean, he's one of those people who's just always welcome back to the fold. So
open door policy.
I mean, like whenever Mulaney is hosting, I'm rest assured there'll be something I like in the show.
So absolutely. Here.
It's going to be fun. So.
And our good friend Just Me at Laurel Bush saying, I like the opening monologue, somber and weekend update. I thought the cold open was a dud. It wasn't nearly as funny as the actual footage and all the comments on that in the preceding days.
You know, that's the other thing when we're just basically redoing the thing that's been in the news. Because if it's something that happens early enough in the week, we've kind of seen every permutation on it already.
Yeah. So
I think that's another argument for we got to find a way to exaggerate it and push it into the realm of absurdity or surrealism or something. I mean,
yeah,
I don't want to see them just be like, here's the thing that happened in the news.
Crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but is it funny? No, so yeah. Make it funny. Make it funny.
Make it funny. Make it more funnier.
Yeah, make me laugh, clowns.
Be more funny.
Dance. Make me laugh.
Dance, monkeys, dance.
Yeah, so overall thoughts, okay episode, I'd say. Not too,
yeah.
Didn't blow me away. Just, all right.
I wasn't nuts about it. I was just like, yeah, this is... So I was expecting a little more from Nikki Glaser and SNL coming together. I was just like very... I'm very lukewarm on this episode.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But will you be lukewarm on next week's episode when we have host handsome man Glenn Powell and musical guest Olivia Dean?
Yes, I will also be lukewarm on that.
Son of a bitch! All right.
Earlier this year, I finally watched that movie, Anyone But You, that he did with Sydney Sweeney, that Glenn Powell did with Sydney Sweeney. I thought it was awful.
I have not seen it.
I watched it, and I was just bored, and I was like, okay, I want something light to watch, and this was supposedly good. I was just like, no, we got to stop letting pretty people think they're funny.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're trying to bang them, don't. Let's end this thing where pretty people are funny.
Yeah, no, it's like you're pretty. That should be enough for you.
Yeah.
You.
The world's your oyster if you're pretty.
If you're a pretty person and you fall over, you're not automatically hilarious. Yeah. You're just a pretty person who fell over.
Leave the comedy to us ugly trolls. Let us have this. And you can have
exactly.
You can have all the rest of the world.
Yeah, yeah. You're basically ruling the world. Anyway. Also, I Glenn Powell. He's another one of these leading men, kind of like Miles Teller. I find just very bland and strangely
attractive.
No, I'm sorry. All right. I got a little distracted because we had another comment that came in from Nick. And I was just starting to look at that.
Ooh, breaking news!
Yeah, Nick is rescinding his opinion. Okay,
what?
Okay, I'm gonna just shit can my Glenn Powell rant because I can get into that next week.
Breaking news, everybody! Breaking news.
Nick says, "I know you've recorded by now." Actually, Nick, you got this in just under the wire. Oh. I just saw the notification. Says, but I want to retract my previous comments. I was too harsh. I've rewatched sketches and found them just outright funny. The American Doll XL sketch gets funnier each watch, and I can't get enough of Mikey and Jeremy saying Anna. So, wow. Okay.
Okay. Wow.
Okay. Nick.
Anya.
I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, this is... Wow, you've stopped the episode in its tracks, Nick. We're floored.
I don't know. You weren't even that negative on your first comment.
Yeah, you really weren't.
There was something missing, but I can't put my finger on it. That wasn't overly harsh, but but let the record show that Nick Storr liked this episode more than he initially thought he did. So
okay, see, look at that. People can change, John.
People can change.
If I can change, you can change. We can all change.
We can all change. You and me. Ah!
Oh my God. Is that your Rocky impression?
Yeah. That was sort of a Rocky impression. I wasn't expecting a Rocky IV reference, so I wasn't prepared.
No one expects a Rocky IV.
Okay. We are long past the point of making sense.
It's so hot in this closet, John.
So I'm just... Yeah. Darren... literally records his podcast sitting in his closet, so the heat builds up as the longer we go. So
yes.
He gets loopier and loopier the longer we go.
Yeah, I'm riding a mechanical bull, going through time, visiting Galileo.
It's all sorts of stuff. Darren, why don't you tell the folks where they can find you and they can get more of this loopiness?
Well, you can get more of this insanity at non-productive.com, where you can listen to this podcast. You can donate to our Patreon. You can go on our YouTube page. We've got a YouTube page, Nonproductive.
With the entire archive of the show, yeah.
All of it, baby.
And all of it, baby.
Yeah, how much can you handle, Ray? That sounded disgusting. And
That was like American Girl doll.
Yeah.
Excel level of disgusting.
Her feet are so lifelike. And as always, you can follow me and all the socials at Dare Incredible. That's D-A-R-A-N, Incredible.
And you can follow me on all the socials at Trumbull Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic. And next week we'll be back with Glenn Powell and Olivia Dean. Him, I sort of know. A little negatively inclined towards Olivia Dean. Don't know at all. Hope she's nice.
Yes, new artist. She also got nominated for a Best New Artist at the Grammys. It's kind of like
That's a nice word. I wonder if she's met that somber fella.
Oh, I wonder. Yeah, I wonder if they've connected. We'll find out.
I hope they're friendly. I hope they like each other.
Mm-hmm. Musical friends.
Yes. So, yeah, that's what we're going to be doing next week. So check us out then. But until then,
Nerds out!
This has been a Nonproductive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Nonproductive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com. Thank you.